Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vape juice. Wrestle me, Mark!
Wrestle me, Pete!
It wasn't vape juice. It was something that I enjoy very much. It is my favourite product, the Pret A Manger do. What is it, Mark?
It's a cold-pressed hot shot.
It is. Orange.
Yep.
Paprika?
Nope.
Chilli?
Nope.
What's in it?
Orange, turmeric and cayenne.
Whoa!
Let me just tell you, I like a hot shot.
Yeah.
A hot shot is actually, if you feel like a cold's coming on.
I'm looking at it and I'm salivating.
Making the old lungs go. It is, if you've never tried them, they are small bottles of juice. Mm. But what they are is loaded with like hot shit.
Yeah.
So you have it and you're like, this burns, I hate it. It's like a practical joke. And then you're like, I feel good. I feel real good.
I love it.
I like, there's an M&S one. Which is...
Oh, fuck off.
Even hotter.
Really?
Yeah, it's
Shut your mouth.
Really nasty, man. Ugh. It's really craggy and amazing. I should say, I only go to M&S because it's next to Archway Tube Station.
Nice.
Stick that in your pipe.
Is there? I've not been to Archway.
You remember the old back of the Archway? So near the library, they used to have an Irish bookshop and Hamburger House, which was a fast food restaurant that never opened. That's now an M&S.
Oh, is it now?
Fucking gentrification.
Well done, then. Yeah. Up and comers.
Yeah.
Is the McDonald's on the corner?
Yeah, that's still there. On McDonald Road.
My friend used to, who used to do the Football Ramble, still does the Football Ramble.
Breaking news.
Changes. he said that every time, because we used to record in Highgate at my house, he used to say, we're going to be out 5 minutes. And knowing full well that they were coming out of Archery, I was going, get me a Big Mac meal and a chocolate milkshake, please.
That is.
And when they used to not have them... They used to forget, I'd missed them. I would be in such a bad mood for the recording.
Yeah.
Like, such a bad mood, Mark.
Do you know, that is a, let me tell you, a rough old McDonald's. It's a rough McDonald's because it's one of those places where quite often I will see shit going down.
Yep.
And the bloke next to me who's going, is the security guard. You know, and he's not running in, he's not running a tight ship. He is just like, this will blow over.
It's next
all things must next. Pass.
It's next. As long as I don't touch the signs, or if they break the Happy Meal safe, I'll be really annoyed. It's next to that pub, isn't it? It's next to that slightly rough pub.
Yes.
Looks like it used to be a school.
Yeah.
A junior school.
What's it called? The Whittington.
The Naughty Boys. The Whittington. Yeah.
It's near the hospital. Any pub near a hospital? Let me tell you, I don't know what it is. I sort of do know what it is, but always problematic.
It's in the Snow Patrol, smokers by the hospital doors. It's people who are get tanked up in between visiting hours, and I'll come back.
They're quite...
Sort of shouting at my wife again.
I've had some... there was a pub that they knocked down. This is very much our new
direction.
When we finish WrestleMania, we're going to the history of London's N19. there was a pub there they did knock down, and that one was one where people would continually come in just going...
Was that the one that had a fox in
back? It was, yeah.
It had a fox on the wall, but it was in a Perspex box, except the Perspex had clearly been broken, so to replace it, they would just put cling film over the front. And you'd just put your finger through it and stroke the fox.
That is essentially... It was a mummified fox. It was a mummified fox. It had all dried out. They found it in the garden, but under some wood. And they're like, let's frame that.
Yes,
without the plexiglass and just with cling film on, it was essentially like a fucking sandwich.
Dinner. Yeah, it looked like dinner.
Absolutely revolting.
They put a little dead mouse as well, so it was as if it was chasing it.
They did.
Disgusting.
I mean, where did they find that? I mean, if you found one of those things, your first thing would just be, oh my God, we've got to move out of here.
We've got to burn this.
We've got to move. Oh, my dad did burn a mummified fox once. Look, we're getting very far off.
He did what?
He found a mummified fox in like a shed.
That's a good place to look, burn it.
It was a thing of beauty. I mean, you see, I've just said that one was horrible. That one was horrible. It was all dusty and crazy. This one, if you'd have like put it in a case, you'd have been like,
with
interesting.
With cling film on it. Interesting.
Interesting.
Museum of Curios.
So my dad just got it and threw it on a bonfire, and the smell was unbelievable. I've never smelled anything like it in my life.
I remember watching, it was not that long ago, there was a Facebook video, one of those kind of Vice kind of like videos that that pull you in with something weird. And it's a man, and he looked like he's made of fucking cogs because he's probably into steampunk and all that bollocks. He's got a moustache, like when I twirl my moustache up. Like that, top hat, fucking gold rings, all that bollocks. Probably goes to download to watch NXT every year. Probably got a subscription to the Suicide Girls. And he owns human body parts. He collects them. You can buy human body parts for cheaper than you'd realise, etc., etc. You know, $4,000 for a femur, that kind of shit. And you sort of think, why do you fucking want it? And he has got a curios, a little kind of pop-up curiosity shop in East London. Come and look at my bullshit. And it'll be like livers, human livers and stuff. All that bollocks. Anyway, he was featured going into another shop in East London that was like a cafe / boozer that had these weird little kind of collections. Like, oh, there's this human skull that I've been eyeing up, and I want to see whether they'll give me a good price for it. And he's this Victorian bell end, and he's like, and he goes in, and it all seems above board and all kind of. But then in the corner of the screen, you can clearly see there's like a collection of jars with people's pubes in it.
Oh,
and one of them says Russell Brand's pubes. It's like, oh, you Victorian curiosity purveyor. Russell Brand's fucking pubes.
I know that guy's name.
I do.
I don't know him.
Okay.
I've seen it advertised.
Have you tried selling his pubes?
I have had to fight really hard to not leap in. His name is not Bernard Galosh, right?
Right.
But it was like me going, yeah, Bernard Galosh.
Yeah.
And I had to hold it back because I was thinking, I don't want him to have the publicity. I think it's absolutely shameful. It's worth saying his Curiosities collection is actually also a cocktail bar, isn't it?
That's right.
So it's a little bit like, oh, what a dangerous place to. I would not touch anything that was served to me there. Welcome back. It's the final part of NXT TakeOver Dallas from 2016. In front of a sold out hot crowd.
Summer in the city.
Very much so. Yes. And very anticipated matchup next, the NXT Women's Champion Bayley versus Asuka.
This has everything going for it, and nothing is bad. I am obsessed.
True.
I discussed on the show before, I am obsessed with Kanachan TV, which is Asuka's YouTube channel.
Over 400,000 subscribers.
Really? Wow. This week's episode, she goes to what can only be described as just a European sort of, like one of those kind of supermarkets you see on Holloway Road, a Turkish one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like where they just sell kind of Eastern European, kind of like Turkish, like
stuff that we don't have here. But
yeah,
which
spices
you
we
see
just
everywhere.
Don't. Which
yeah,
spices? Yeah, yeah. What you'd look at and go, is that the cayenne?
Like 15.
I'm trying to
like
make a hot shot.
Different, like how we have tomato passata.
Yeah,
got 15 different red pepper passatas.
How much halva can I eat? Turns out a fucking lot. That's why my chest hurts right now. But she's just kind of like going. She's just going through all of this. She's looking at just Eastern European crackers and going, "Oh, this is very exotic." All in Japanese.
Yeah.
Red Orangina. She'd never seen a red Orangina before. And she takes her mask because she's wearing a mask, and she takes her mask off. And she blurs her own face. She loves blurring faces.
Yeah, she does.
And we've talked about she blurred the face of a dog. She blurred a dog's face, didn't see that the dog was clearly in a reflection, so we knew exactly what that dog was looking like. But I love Asuka. Asuka, she is the best, and she has the best look.
Yeah.
She inexplicably wears a thong over her own pants. It's just bizarre. But in this match, she is the most brutal maniac.
She's insane. She's insane. She's insanely good.
She kicks the shit out of this woman.
It absolutely
fucks her up.
It is worth saying, nobody imagined. Asuka was, when she started, everyone loved her. I mean, she's always been a really popular. She started in 2004 under the name Kana.
Right.
Or Kana. And she was in a lot of the smaller Japanese indies.
Yeah.
In Japan, they don't have like a New Japan women's division.
Yeah,
there's
yeah,
no
yeah.
pro wrestling,
yeah,
yeah. no women's division. But female wrestling, or Joshi as it's known, is, you know, always been very respected and very big. She was working in these smaller Japanese indies like Pro Wrestling Wave, Smash DDT Pro, and a place called Ice Ribbon.
Right.
And then she came to the US and worked for Shimmer, who were the biggest independent women's group at the time. Nothing prepared people for how good Kana stroke Asuka was and would become. And so she comes to NXT, and I don't know, people were like, oh yeah, that's that indie Japanese woman. Oh, that's good. Oh, she seems nice, doesn't she? Look, isn't she pretty? Mm. You know, doesn't she scrub up well? Isn't like her colourful hair?
I just like the fact that her persona on her YouTube channel.
Yeah.
She turns into a fucking monster, Mark.
She is the Empress of Tomorrow. It always reminded me of Fedor Emelianenko, the MMA star, who's Russian, frightening looking.
Yeah.
He's just solid, and he doesn't look... He looks like a grey little man, but you can see in his face, you just go, there's no fucking around. He was known as the Last Emperor. She being the Empress of Tomorrow. They've always tied the two together in my head, okay, and right. I find her frightening as a result. She is one of those people who, unusually in WWE, you come in and go, I'm going to be like this, and then slowly you get worn down. With her, she is like, I'm coming in, and I will increase it.
I'm only going to get worse.
Each time you see it. And her NXT run was one of complete dominance and brutality. It was just insane.
She did this flick of a kick, like a back kick.
Goodness.
It was like... She was like killing a really hard beetle. Yeah. She was like trying to separate a pebble into two with a back kick.
Yeah.
It was fucking brilliant, Mark.
She's great. She is insane. What is funny about this match is
she's a fucking fist. I guess it was kind of like Nakamura and Zayn. Mm. They were both kind of faces. Like they're both kind of good guys,
completely,
weren't they?
That's the thing. This is a crowd.
Yeah,
this
so
is a crowd who love wrestling. And if you love wrestling, of course you love Asuka. That was great. You also kind of love Bayley.
Yeah.
At this time, what was really interesting about Bayley is Bayley has kickstarted the women's revolution in the whole of WWE wrestling. Not in the world. It's been going on for ages. But they had one of the big main events at an NXT TakeOver the year before was between Bayley and Sasha Banks.
Right.
And it took place in a half-hour Iron Man match. It was a really long match. It was brilliantly wrestled. One of the best matches of the year. And at the end, Triple H came out. And you know, he got into the ring,
this
and Sasha Banks is crying. The whole locker room comes out, and they give her flowers, and she almost breaks down. And he gives her a hug. And then he gets into the ring with Bayley, and what he does is he sort of goes, "I thought this was all right," and she's crying and emotional, and the fans are just going wild. Mm. And it was the moment that I think they went, "Okay, we've really dropped the ball on women in wrestling by having divas and by not taking it seriously." Yeah. And the NXT women were the ones who changed the business. You can certainly go back to Arrival, the very first one. There were matches between, I think at the time, Paige, Emma, Natalia, Charlotte Flair, people like that. It really changed the business. Mm. Bayley and Banks took it one step further on. They showed that the women weren't just part of the business. Women could be the main event. She was so popular, Bayley, in NXT. She had a gimmick about hugging. Bayley's gonna hug you. People used to chant in a parody of, say, Joe is gonna kill you. Mm. And she was also known for a while as the Doctor of Hugonomics after John Cena. Nice. But what really got across was she was one of the few people who could pull that gimmick off because she was incredibly likable. It didn't seem fake. It didn't seem like, generated in a writer's room. Mm. It seemed like an extension of her personality. The best wrestling gimmicks always are.
Yeah.
And she would come out. What had happened is she'd beat Sasha Banks. She'd then gone on to beat Nia Jax, who was undefeated. And I think people, with this Asuka coming as this unstoppable empress who had never lost a match, people were thinking, and Bayley will stop her. Then Asuka will go to WWE because she's clearly ready. You know, we don't need her hanging around here.
She will break something.
Being frightening.
She will hurt somebody.
You know, she can move on. And so I think the crowd were expecting Bayley to win. And so it's a bit of a surprise when Asuka wins. Like a lot of wrestling fans, of course, they're like, well, of course, you know, we know how this is going to end. Obviously, you know, she's going to there, like I do on this. And what happens is they get surprised and they show their surprise rather than going, whoa, they go, oh, interesting. Yeah, no, that's so it's got a slightly flat end, this.
Right.
But it's not really down to the two of them. They are just, I love both of them. Bayley is, her name is Pamela, I'm about to say her surname, I think it's, It's Mexican, isn't it?
It's Martinez.
Martinez. I was about to say Hernandez.
I know that. I know that because she cites Randy Savage, Randy Orton, The Rock, The Hardy Boys, Lita, Rey Mysterio, John Cena, Eddie Guerrero, Ivory, Victoria, Bret Hart, Triple H, The Fabulous Moolah, and Trish Stratus as her influences in wrestling. Too many influences.
Too many.
Barely. Come on.
She's also the only woman on earth who was born in the 80s and was called Pamela. It's a really sort of like weird one. Lockdown has been Bayley's best friend. So Bayley and Sasha Banks, their storyline, they've been running a very slow drip storyline, which right. by the time of next year's WrestleMania will have been going for 14 months, and it's just about their growing sort of desire for the belt that one of them holds. And it's been really nicely done. I think they brought it to a head now. It's going to be interesting to see how they can pad it out, which is a shame. Right. But it was a lovely, lovely slow build. And Bayley has become one of the biggest superstars on WWE TV just by being good. I mean, you can see it at this stage in her career. She was excellent in the ring. She did everything that was needed. You could see it meant a lot to her.
Yeah.
And you can see that that's not changed 4 years later. But she's on a much bigger stage and she's absolutely killing it.
Mm.
As is Sasha Banks and as is Asuka. Asuka has done so well during lockdown. And it's really nice when you watch a match like this that you just go, oh, it was all there. All there all along.
Look, the two of the my favourite entrances of all time... there's the spooky mask and the Sakura blossom. I can take or leave that bit. But Bayley's entrance, the inflatable garage forecourt men, come on.
Yep.
Why have... I've never seen that before. I've been watching this for 20 fucking years, 25 years, whatever. Why have nobody thought to install no less than 7 or 8 of those inflatable fucking garage forecourt men?
One of her iconic career moments is the moment where she turns her back on the fans. And what she does is she comes out essentially with a saber and she begins hacking at those men while the crowd
really?
Boo.
Oh, it's great.
And when they deflate, Pete, once seen, dreamed about. You will dream about what it will be like to put a big hole in one of those inflatable men and just watch them, watch their guts like flap out. It's amazing. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, really, really good use. Again, you're absolutely right. Those things that you just look at, and I suppose at the time they don't feel sort of iconic, and you look back now and you go, that was a good choice.
That was fucking great. Very enjoyable. And the DJ Otzi song, Hey Bayley.
Yes.
Yeah, could do without that.
Yeah, what they sing. Actually, I think this is one of the first times because, again, it's the smart fans. If you like, it's the same as football chants that, you know, people used to have to be from the fanzine world and they would have circulated them, you know, and they would lead the singing. Mm. Well, what you've got here is you've got the smart wrestling fans and so you get these new chants are appearing. Worth saying as well, sorry, I absolutely forgot this last week, which is absolutely one of the things I love the most. In the middle of the Nakamura-Zayn match, the fans begin chanting Fight Forever. That is the first time it was ever chanted in a WWE ring. It's always one of those things you used to hear in the independents because the matches were so incredible.
Right.
That was the first time a WWE got a Fight Forever chant.
Oh.
Like that, what you get here is you get things like... Hey, Bayley, I want to know, if you'll be my girl. And what you see is when that first hits, you see Bayley laugh. She's like, that's great. And it's just nice. She knows she's over. You know, that the sense of a load of men singing it, I don't think is as inappropriate as it seems because they are just being like, you know, she's a woman and she's great.
Mm.
And I think after years of being taken for, you know, granted of just being, you know, eye candy, watching them actually get to wrestle and they're beloved because of their wrestling.
Mm.
Ah, absolutely thrilling. That's why this takeover was so great to watch. You watched that and you sort of went, wow, the fans aren't shitting on the women's match, you know.
Yeah.
The fans are as excited about the women's match and the performers in it are as good as a lot of the people in the male matches that we've seen.
Maybe I said this last time, but obviously when I think the first appearance of Paige, and that seemed to be a bit of a sea change, but this is like... lightened, like completely different.
Yeah, completely. It's
Asuka's fucking crazy.
I mean, I really enjoyed this match. Again, this is one of those things that when you think of NXT TakeOver Dallas, I think of, it's Nakamura, that one. And then there's the main event that's not very good. Mm. And there's all that slight thing of when you watch it back, you go, that Bayley one versus Asuka, I remember going, oh, that was a bit flat. It's not flat. It's great. It's really fun. The main event, I actually thought was... a stonker. I thought it was great and I'd remembered myself just, oh, it was a disaster, it all went horribly wrong. And actually it turns out to be a thumpos. It's NXT champion Finn Balor versus Samoa Joe.
They do a bit, but just as we get there, I always do this to you, Mark.
That's all right.
I want to get my little bit of my note out. Bobby Roode. is there.
That's right. He's like in the Kotowir Bushi that we saw earlier.
So he's kind of announcing that he's going to be, you know, there.
You appear in the audience used to be the way that you announce your contract was being signed.
Right. So how was he not related to Ravishing Rick Rude?
It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense.
And I know his spelling's different, but... You know.
When they, well, Ravishing Rick Rude as well, his real name was Richard Rude.
Rude, yeah.
But it was R-O-O-D.
D, yeah, and
This has got an E on. Is that his real name, Bobby Rude? I'm not sure.
I don't think it is. That's what I've got.
One of them has either forgotten or added a letter, because they are clearly related.
there's shots of him with a moustache, and you're like, I know my Rudes.
He would go on to have his gimmick was Glorious Bobby Rude. Glorious, it would go, and he came out in the sort of thing, and... the big sort of almost Ric Flair-esque cape. But it owed a lot to Rick Rude. You know, he was always a body guy, was Bobby Rude. He would go on to become a short-lived sort of NXT champion. Not the best choice. He ended up beating Nakamura. And he, again, like everybody, Pete, would go on to the WWE, and he would really suffer. He would really work hard to keep his head above water, poor lad. But this time it was a really exciting sort of signing. He was one of the guys who was one of the main event stars in Impact, TNA. Yeah. And so it was exciting to see him. What was I going to say about him? Yes, interesting trivia fact that I've just remembered.
Okay.
So his song, which went glorious, do 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 do, yeah, do do do. People used to love it.
sounds lovely.
It was originally written for Shinsuke Nakamura. And Shinsuke Nakamura heard it, and he just went, I don't think this is quite right. Then he was basically like, you know what I'd really like? I'd like... we're doing him like Papa Lazarus, because I find him herky-jerky and scary.
Yeah.
I like violin.
I like violin. Yeah, I'm Mexican
scratchy,
now.
Scratchy, scratchy, like a skeleton playing it, you know? And that's what he gets. He gets this amazing sort of...
Speaking of themes, Mark, we talk about your top five matches, etc. that seems to change every fucking month.
Well, I'm so sorry I'm not some kind of stick in the mud.
I will change. Sami Zayn's theme tune, again, bringing it back to Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. It is fucking brilliant. It is up my street. It is so up my street. It's got a Pret Emoji. It's selling just Hot Shots. That's how up my street it is.
It is. Your power pop bunk bed.
Get in the bunk
your
bed.
Your bunk bed band would be called Peter and the Hot Shots, and you would be doing Sami Zayn's song. You know, it is a cracker.
It's a banger. It's just, I may have listened to it independently.
Sami Zayn,
shot.
Look, we did not talk about him. I'll just quickly throw it in. He's of Syrian descent. I believe he's a Muslim. He speaks three different languages.
Arabic on his trunk, doesn't he?
He does, yes. Yeah. He's from Montreal, Quebec. The three languages he speaks, I believe, are Arabic, French, and English. He was a big star from 2002 to 2013 as El Generico, who was a masked like wrestler.
Is that an ironic Mexican
wrestler? It was an ironic name. He turned out to be such a phenomenally good wrestler, and he had so many good headline feuds that you forget he was called El Generico. But he was a really good masked wrestler.
Disrespectful.
I know. He spends his time 9 years, maybe 9 years, maybe even 11 years under a mask.
Right.
Until he gets signed by WWE, who say, take the mask off. And everyone's like, they fucking signed El Generico and they made him take the mask off. This is insane. He turns out to be, I mean, no one knew what he looked like at all, really. I mean, obviously some of the wrestlers did. I hope he never took the mask off. I hate wrestlers who are like, I'm a masked
like
wrestler.
Like when Rey Mysterio took it off in the lift.
Never
shit.
Take it off. Absolute never. Shit. You take it off when you get home after your wife has shut the curtains, then you remove it. But he'd been 11 years under this mask and they took it off and people didn't know what he looked like. And when he first saw him, you were like, oh, he's actually sort of like quite young
looking.
And
he's
sort of
quite good looking.
I thought there is a thing in your back of your mind
and
as a wrestling
like, oh,
fan, you're always like, they must have a mask on because they're so disfigured.
I'll be
the thing. Maybe he got damaged in a fire like Kane. but no, he turned out to just be quite a normal looking, sort of handsome-ish bloke, isn't
he?
They used to chant ole 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 at him, you know, ole 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 ole. Loads of odd chants for specific wrestlers.
Right.
He was a great performer in places like Ring of Honor and PWG. Really, really, good performer. And he goes on to be. He's had some good matches in WWE.
Can we go and watch some wrestling when this is all over, please? I really miss it.
I miss it so badly.
Even though I'd turned down because I was busy three separate live events in recent memory.
But I look at it now and it's just, when you see the crowds in this sort of thing, again, it just, I mean, what we used to take for granted. Now we're living in the new normal.
Oh, yeah. Finn below.
I do look at it. I think I said to Liz the other night, I just think of watching, I don't know, anything. And I've just been like, I could have gone to that. I could have gone there. Do you know what I did instead? Nothing. I stayed in. Do you know what I have to do now? I have to stay in. I won't go out. It's a nightmare.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. Every week, I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
Join me tomorrow as I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Finn Balor's been watching Battlefield Earth, hasn't
he? Yes.
Loves Battlefield. His favourite film, I hear.
I get a lot to say about Finn Balor.
Right.
Make it sound like we got.
Well, I've got a lot. This is.
He moved
canceled in
two doors away. It really does sound like that. I remember this match as being, you know, I just remembered it being really lackluster, and it seemed, you know, like he lacked charisma, having been very charismatic for a long time beforehand. And I thought Samoa Joe, I seem to remember, oh yeah, there was the blood and it all just fell apart and it was crap. I watched it back, I enjoyed it so much. I thought it was absolutely stonking. Samoa Joe is one of the great remaining I am a mean bully wrestlers. And I love a mean bully wrestler. He comes out and he just looks annoyed and furious and ready to cause a fucking ruck.
He just doesn't seem like he dives through the ropes at one point and pushes. The word probably isn't pushes in this. He's a real push. He sort of does, into the barricade. It seems like he does not give a fuck.
That bit is, again, like we've seen Nakamura, where Nakamura has his nose broken and then does a really violent bit to basically cover the fact that Sami Layne needs to be lying down for a while. Samoa Joe does the same with Finn Balor, and that's when he has his eye busted open.
I mean,
his eye is busted open on the very first move of the match. Finn Balor throws him into the turnbuckle in a thing that has happened, I mean, conservative estimate, 75 million times in a wrestling match.
To that turnbuckle. Yeah. In its lifetime.
Never once.
No.
Never once has it gone, and now I split your head open.
Yeah.
It's always gone.
How has he managed to find the bit of the
soft pillowy hug onto your noggin.
George Steele. George Steele, been eating
exactly
it.
That.
Been eating the padding.
Joe hits it, bang. Absolute gusher on his cheek.
Fucked up.
Will not stop. Whole match. Gush, gush, gush.
As soon as the ref sees it, gloves on. Really professional. I was like, oh, that's cool.
And you can see that Joe is not happy about this. This is Joe's first big main event. He is ready to go and look like a threat.
Yeah.
And all he's got is, you're going, I am an unstoppable monster, but I will stop because this referee says to me, I want to sort that out because you can't have it on your face. And you have to go, okay, I will stop then. Yeah. I mean, he has to throw him into the barricade to just get him out of the way on that bit. Samoa Joe, former Olympian.
Oh,
yeah, the 1984 Summer Olympics.
He won the bleeding match.
He was part of a Polynesian dance troupe with his family. His family ran it, called TRA Productions.
Whoa, what?
And he made his stage debut at the 84 Summer Olympics opening at the age of 5.
Oh, he wasn't right. He was dancing.
I think that one. Well, 84 Olympics, that was Los Angeles, wasn't it? So he was dancing around.
Nice.
He debuted as a wrestler in 2000. He signed with a company called UPW, who were a little company, but they had a sort of WWF affiliation, sort of going, come and look at our talent.
Right.
Smojo's first major opponent that he had a feud with was a fellow rookie called John Cena. They did very well together. And they put him on WWE TV right at the start of his career. He lost a sort of a squash match to S.A. Rios, who was a Mexican high flyer, on the TV program WWF Jacked.
Jacked. You don't want to hear
that.
Yeah,
double K as well. Jacked.
You just got jacked.
While he was in UPW in his first couple of years, he actually got a chance to have a conversation with Jim Ross.
Oh.
Jim Ross told him explicitly that Samoa Joe had no future in pro wrestling.
Well.
He said, I've told Jim Ross that one of the greatest gifts he ever gave me was being really brutally honest with me and saying, we know what we're looking for at WWE in terms of talent, and you're not it. He said, I didn't take that as an insult. It added fuel to my fire.
Nice.
I'd have fucking choked JR out.
I mean, it's a bit rich, isn't it? Like, it's a bit kind of, he'd have to have people around him, wouldn't he?
We know what we're looking for at WWE in terms of talent, and you're not it.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so I'm never coming to WWE.
Yeah, I can kill you now.
Okay, so I'm going to smacking hit. I'm going to fuck, absolutely. Oh, you're fucking. Mate.
I'm gonna punch off
here. I feel bad for you. I feel bad that you
felt bold enough to say that.
Oh, my God.
You didn't think through the repercussions.
Oh, my God.
What was going through my head?
I mean, credit to you, because you're either the stupidest man alive or the bravest. You know, and we're going to find out in a minute, aren't we? Because I'm going to put you in your hat. You and your hat are going to fucking change position. Joe goes to Ring of Honor in 2002. They bring him in for one match, and they love him so much, and the fans love him so much. He's there for 6 years.
Yay.
He wins the ROH title in 2003. He held it for 645 days. Had a series of matches with CM Punk that were rated 5 stars in the Wrestling Observer. We know what we're looking for at WWE in terms of talent, and you're not it. He would have that CM Punk match that got 5 stars was the first American match to get 5-star rating in 7 years.
Oh.
He had an all-time classic with the Japanese star Kenta Kobashi on Kobashi's first ever and only trip to the US. Again, got a 5-star rating for the Wrestling Observer. He went to TNA for a decade. He had matches with people like, big main events with Sting and Kurt Angle. He held their title, and then he signed with WWE in May 2015. A long time coming for Joe. That is,
I bet he was more expensive.
15 years. I bet he was. Initially, they had a deal with him where they said to him, we don't want you full-time.
Right.
They said, so you can keep on going to other places as well.
Yeah.
And that was a weird thing of sort of just going, we know what we want in WWE in terms of talent, and you're not it.
You ain't it.
But they were like, but I suppose you got marquee attraction or something, you know. Like,
yeah, you can pull them, yeah, push tickets a little bit, yeah.
And then they noticed that whenever they had him on, his merchandise sales were really, really surprisingly big when they went to venues. So they decided to sign him to a full-time deal. So everything you put in the way of Samoa Joe... He's one of those guys as well who's, you know, he was brought in at a high level and in the main roster. Mm. He's a great performer. He was really good. He had a bit of bad luck here and there. He's currently a commentator, and he's turned out to be incredibly good at that. Mm. Irony, isn't it? Jim Ross, when he's like, you're not the kind of talent. You'd really want to turn to Jim Ross and say, oh, right, is that, let me look at my crystal ball. Oh, what am I doing? Sit in the commentator's seat.
That chair.
Where are you, Jim?
That chair's not going to be that small for me. It's probably going to be a bit bigger because I'm going to sit on it. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be at AEW. Oh, all right, that's... I mean, good for you, but I mean, you know, not your story. Out comes Finn Balor to open this up with a chainsaw, making reference to Texas Chainsaw Massacre because they're in Dallas.
Is that why?
I didn't get it at the time either. It's the chainsaw is not a very good thing because you can't use it. You can't go, I'm going to saw off your arm, you know.
It might have done less damage than the fucking turnbuckle.
That's true. He waves it around. There's also an annoying thing where, because it's like not a constant noise, you know when he's going, rum, 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 rum. And so I was watching that and I was going, is he doing it time in the music? And you still go, he started, he's noticed as well, so he's now trying to not have it in time with the music.
Yeah.
And then that is itself its own pattern.
It was like when I've got a house with a little bit of garden now, and there was a free one, it came with a rental. There is a petrol-powered lawnmower in there. Now, I've never been in charge of anything petrol-powered before. I can get it started, but I'm not exactly sure how I stop it.
Oh.
So I'm a little bit, when I was watching him wave that around, I was like, stop.
If it's like mine, you just have to let go of that bit that you pull up.
It just stops.
It cuts out. The reason for that is, of course, is mainly old people have them.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been built in to just go, they will fall over. Or they will just drop dead of a heart attack. The last thing we want is
wasted petrol.
The last thing we want is someone saying, look, are you the hater company? You just go, my husband died, but your machine, after he was dead, it carried on. He's out the picture, isn't he? And that's on you.
Yeah.
And that went into my fish pond, and everything is underneath. I want the money for the fish.
Yeah. That's saves on petrol, but it saves on a burial if it eats you.
Yeah, it does.
Brian Harvey style.
But they refuse to help out the lawnmower. They refuse to help out with the disposal of corpses. I don't know how they can justify it. I just do not know.
Fascinating creatures, the old combustion engine, isn't it? Fascinating creatures. I don't know how they work.
I don't know how they work.
No.
I find them frightening and strange.
You need two kinds of oil. When one oil keeps it moving, and then the other one, it combusts.
It's the same.
Just the same oil. There's a guy on YouTube who's got a combustion engine, and all he does is flood the combustion engine with different kinds of engine oil. So he'll use like cooking oil.
You can say paint. Different types of paint.
So he'll do like so the petrol is the petrol that stays in where it needs to be to push the pistons and the combustion and all that shit. But to make sure that the parts are moving, it needs grease. So the engine oil is the grease that makes the machine move. And so he tries different things like lilt and milk and stuff like that. And engines will go a surprising amount of time, or certainly the one he's got, without exploding or fucking up. It's fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
I've always said this, Pete. I've always said engine oil is a con.
It's just a joke, mate.
If it's a fucking joke. Like Austin Aries can get one thing across through this wrestling career we have, let's make it clear. Engine oil, total con.
Absolute DOS.
Baylor has also the thing with the chainsaw that I've noticed, which I've seen. It ruins it for me because someone said to me, well, you know how you use chainsaws in this sort of environment, don't you?
Right.
You just take off the chain.
Yes. Okay.
So you're just left
with this. The noise of the engine. Yeah.
When you notice that, you're just like,
oh, there's no teeth on it.
No. So I'm like, oh, that's taken away.
Can he not
thrill.
Be trusted? Is he not wearing Kevlar trousers?
Look, Pete, come on. It's health and safety,
health and safety,
mate.
Gone mad.
What, you want, well, one of the fans, if it goes into the one of the fans,
one,
then it's all over, isn't it?
Oh, but he can be pushed through a barricade into them. No bother.
Get
blood over on it over everyone.
Loads of refs running from the back of him. Make sure sure he doesn't make it onto telly. Originally, his entrance was going to be that he was going to come in riding a horse.
Right.
Yeah, he'd never ridden one before.
No, that would be an obstacle.
Maybe this is my sort of dated view of what Ireland is like, but I thought all of those sort of good-looking, muscular lads were riding around the old Alan Partridge, yeah, horse on a council estate, isn't it? It's but not for Finn Balor.
Not for Finn Balor.
The idea was it fitted in with the sort of cowboy Texans theme, which they managed to steer really well away from.
Yeah, how have they
managed
to do that?
No, remarkably sort of not route one. Well done, everyone. And basically what happened is Triple H had said, look, I tried that once to make an entrance on a horse.
Of course
he
did,
said, and the horse would not stop bucking. And just, once it does that, you are fucked.
Yeah.
You're going to roll off the back and you're going to look like a dildo. So I believe that's verbatim.
You're going to look like a real tit.
Yeah. So the plan
even if you're dressed like the Terminator.
Dropped. Yeah. Finn Balor, really interesting. He's a guy called Fergal Devitt.
Mm.
And what's really interesting about him is how he came from Ireland.
Yeah.
And yet became a huge international star incredibly quickly.
Right.
So he debuted in 2000 in NWA UK Hammerlock. That was part of this sort of group of NWA promoters and things. Mm. A lot of the smaller organizations love to be part of the NWA because there's the idea that you've heard of the NWA and you're part of it. And it seems like one of those dreams that you have as a promoter is you are now saying the NWA goes back to 1948 and you're part of a lineage.
And you're getting paid those rates. 1940s rates.
But Hammerlock was one of the training schools and he started there at 18. He quickly started performing all around Britain and Ireland. And in 2002, he opened NWA Ireland, which was his own promotion. He's like 20, just sort of nuts. And he also, most famously, their most sort of famous, if you like, graduate from that promotion was Becky Lynch.
Oh, right,
who,
okay.
Would become the man, Becky Lynch. He trained her. In 2005, the NWA held their 57th anniversary show in America, and he was invited to take part in that as a wrestler. His name's Fergal Devitt, by the way. I think I forget what he was performing under. Probably Fergal Devitt, I think. He took part in that. He was noticed by a guy called Simon Inoki, who is the son-in-law of Antonio Inoki in New Japan Wrestling. And Simon Inoki said to him, would you like to come and train at the New Japan Dojo that we have in California?
Mm.
Shortly after that, he was taken to the Japanese dojo in Tokyo, and he began training there. He signed a contract, Devitt, with New Japan Pro Wrestling in 2006, and he made his debut against El Samurai, who was a sort of classic high flyer of the early 90s, using the ring name Prince Devitt. So he was called Prince Devitt because no one in Japan would be able to pronounce Fergal. It's just one of those words.
Faraguru.
Yeah, it would have been impossible. Originally, they said to him, why don't we call you King David? Which is good. I like it's Jewishness. the only reason they didn't call him King David is the Japanese people said, but he's only 24.
Yeah,
they said,
he'd be a prince.
They said, why would a 24-year-old be a king already? And I was a bit like, it's not, I mean, you know.
You've got emperors. You've got emperors,
haven't you? We used to have a 9-year-old one. We don't cry about that. So he becomes Prince Devitt. He has a short run as the IWGP Junior Tag Team Champion with a guy called Taguchi in a tag team called Apollo 55. But he would then go on to have some singles sort of success. He'd won the 2010 Best of the Super Juniors tournament over Kota Ibushi in the finals. A tournament that you went
I've seen.
I can't work out what year it would have been.
No, I remember a man masquerading as a tiger mask.
Yeah.
He was looked very lonely.
You walked out early, didn't you?
I was hungover.
I still
I'd watch
think
Taka
if I go through them, I reckon I will be able to see you. All of them are recorded. They will have focused in on you.
Oh, I was right at the back. There was a really a man tried to get a piece of hair from a wrestler that famously had a lot of like fake kind of dreadlocks, and he demanded this piece of hair from this man. It took too long to get out of his head, and he was saying, "Will you give it to my daughter?" His daughter wasn't asked. It was just very confusing.
That sounds very much like CJ Parker. I will check that out. Super Juniors. He wins in 2010. Very prestigious sort of big tournament. And he then wins the IWGP Junior title from Naomichi Marufuji. He also came within a point of making the finals of the G1 tournament, which is this annual tournament of all the heavyweights. And it was very unusual for a light heavyweight to be doing so well in these sorts of big things. At this time, the junior heavyweights and the heavyweights were very much sort of separate entities.
Right.
In 2013, though, everything goes banana for Prince Devitt. He splits up with his partner Taguchi, and they have their first sort of match on opposing sides at a event called Wrestling Dontaku in 2013. And what happens later in the event is he and his partner from earlier, Bad Luck Fale, they attacked Hiroshi Tanahashi with two other people, Carl Anderson, who would later go into WWE, and Tama Tonga, who is the son of Haku. And those four men quickly became known as Bullet Club.
Right.
And Bullet Club was a merchandising juggernaut. Mm. It became so big. Since, obviously, he's had a lot of success in WWE, there's always been this, and there's certainly been periods in WWE where they've gone, are they going to bring back Bullet Club? Mm. New Japan owned that trademark, but they've talked about what we have is the club. We have OC, the original club, with AJ Styles, who would later take over the Bullet Club when Devitt left. It is just a phenomenon. Those millions of T-shirts, and they all spring from that one moment. It's an amazing thing. He still has T-shirts, Finn Balor, that read Balor Club on them. It being that just the word club is enough that you go, right, that's it.
You go to any wrestling show and it's not even every second person, every person.
Yeah.
And there'll be some other people with different T-shirts, but everyone has a Bullet Club T-shirt. It's crazy.
65%.
Yeah,
65. Certainly 65% of the people in that room will own a Bullet Club T-shirt if they haven't got it on at that moment. In 2013, he won his second best of the Super Junior tournament. He won every single match in his block. And then they had a program where he tried to win the main IWGP title while he was still holding the junior one. At that time, very unusual thing for them to do. He ultimately lost to the legend, Kazuchika Okada. Mm. What he started doing at various points in Japan is when he'd have a really, really big match, he would start wearing face and body paint for almost like this mental advantage. And what that becomes is it becomes known as the demon. People talk about, you know, is he going to wear his demon face paint? Is he going to wear his demon mask? That sort of thing. And when he comes to WWE, he signs in May 2014. They get rid of the Prince Devitt name. They give him a new one. It's Finn Balor. And Finn Balor comes from the Irish mythology of Finn McCool, and obviously the surname Balor, which is Gaelic for demon king.
Right.
So you've got this sense of him being good and bad, split personality.
Mm.
And what he does is he normally wrestles as Finn Balor. Occasionally when he has these huge matches that someone's really threatened him or he doesn't think he's going to win or he just needs that sort of extra push, he becomes the demon. It's like that is the thing that he goes into and it allows him, you know, it's the fiend, but yes, done on a much more understandable level, right? The weird thing is Finn Balor does not go into any sort of type of persona with the demon.
No.
He comes out crawling, wearing his face paint, and he does it. And then when the match starts, he's the same wrestler as he is when he's Finn Balor.
Yeah.
That bit doesn't quite make sense.
No.
He should be more aggressive or more violent or something. But he's just like, no, I've done the paint. That's now taking the aggression out of me.
I just need a nice little pin to calm me down a little bit.
Without the demon thing, which is just in with some paint on, there is no difference. Without that, what is he? He's just a good wrestler. He's just a. I'm Finn Balor. What's your gimmick? Finn Balor.
I'm here.
Yeah, I am the wrestler. I'm the one who came out of Bullet Club. Are you doing that now? No.
No.
No. You are just a fucking. You're just a dude. What is your. What's your hang? It's a very strange one. He has, over the years, slightly sort of waxed and waned for me.
Right.
I love his Japanese stuff. Of course I'd say that. Listen to me.
Listen to you. You're on a wrestling podcast.
Of course. Jesus. Do you know when I liked him, Pete? I liked him when you hadn't heard of him. Anyone out there listening, the moment you heard of him, I went off him a bit. I did enjoy his Japanese stuff. I've always found in WWE, again, I just sort of go, he is good.
Yeah.
But I'm always just fucking missing something about it. He's never I don't know. He's never quite clicked it for me.
Right.
And the very fact that, you know, he's never quite hit that big main event where he should be because he's one of the most talented performers in the world seems to be that there's something not quite there.
Right.
I don't know what that is. This match is a fucking bill. I love it. You obviously have the blood verboten. The fans cheer as well when Joey's like, get the fucking refs off. I'm fine. I'm going to carry on. But they are like, you know, well, I'm not going to lose my job. And they keep on catching up with him through the match. Mm. At the time, I remember thinking, this is a disaster.
Yeah.
And people thought it was a disaster because of they begin at one point chanting, fuck PG. Fuck PG. PG.
Because they keep on having because, to get their wife. Because yeah. it's not, they're not fixing them up. They're just... They're not putting stitches on them. They're not gluing them. They're not putting.
You don't see Vaseline going on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just they don't want to see the blood. They don't want to see the blood. What's crazy about it is, you know, that happened, and it's one of those things of you know, we have heard the horror stories about Hep C, and yes, blood is barbaric. You know, and certainly when people were cutting themselves to get it, I find it so difficult to explain. I really like blood in wrestling when it's used in the matches that I like.
Yeah.
It's used in the matches I don't like. I think it's absolutely abhorrent and disgusting. But I have no justification for being able to say, yes, someone should cut themselves open because it makes it more exciting. Mm. I sort of go, even if I say that out loud, I kind of go, I cannot justify that. I think it's awful. But I do like it.
Yeah. I do like the craft. I like the craft of blading.
And if it happens by mistake, then who...
Fucking, who's losing out?
Let's just make hay.
There's not a fucking union of fucking of turnbuckles, is there?
Nobody gets sued when they cut themselves in their kitchen. You know, it does make me a bit... I don't know how I feel about it,
they
but
do
I
if it's
know
DFS.
It's not right.
They do if it's DFS.
I know it's not right, but I also... really miss it. And sometimes it made really exciting matches even better.
Yes, yes.
And that was to my benefit.
Yeah, I agree.
Joe is great in this match. I mean, he fights through that. He's angry about it. He does some really explosive matches. But he has one thing I love more than anything else, which is he seems absolutely determined to win.
Yeah.
And I love determination in a wrestling match. He just is keeping going and he looks at any point like he could win it. And then, of course, he doesn't. He loses. 3 weeks later, he would win the belt from Finn Balor.
Right.
And there was a sense of it felt too inevitable.
Mm.
They didn't want, you know, Joe to just, you know, steamroll and Finn Balor to look weak. And you want to swerve the fans and everything. But years after the event, looking back, I just go, I wish he'd won it there. I could have watched that. Instead, I saw a match where he didn't win. You know, I could have seen it. But I did. I loved that match.
Yeah.
I was amazed by how much I enjoyed it. And I liked it because it felt like it was going wrong and that felt really different and exciting. And it felt like, you know, of everyone who was going to be able to cope with that, two people like Finn Balor and Samoa Joe who have wrestled all over the world, that is not going to worry them. They are still going to put it together.
Now, I'm going to take the tone down a little. And I texted you this before we got in.
You did, yeah.
I am 90% certain that Finn Balor shat himself a bit in this match.
Yeah, I and do you know what, Pete? You have... If you'd have just brought that up, I'd have gone...
Don't be disgusting,
that
Pete.
That is a shame to end this that way, you know.
Why are you doing this,
But
Pete?
You sent me a screenshot, and it really does look like he shat himself.
Yeah, on his pants...
He's being held upside down for a suplex. Yes. I think that's the...
Yes, you can see it all. You can see the taint to the front, to the back.
Yes.
And it's not just the poop that you can see pushing against, you know, prying, like really squeezing against the pant. It's also the grease of the sweat of the poo.
Yes.
Which makes me think it's
the sort
also
of liquid that lives within it. And has been resting twixt shite and trunks. That's it, really, isn't it? It's sort of gone. It's soaked in.
Yeah,
it's soaking in.
And look, Finn will say it's Samoa Joe's blood.
Yeah,
I disagree.
Yeah,
I think Finn shat himself.
I think so. And look, something that is unknown in the world of wrestling.
No, it's happened.
I was watching. I did mention this in the Patreon newsletter, but I was watching IWA Mid South, which is a sort of hardcore thing, and it was about from 2001. And there was a guy who was having a normal match, who it was called Deranged, and he was having a totally normal match. And he ends up on the top turnbuckle, and he is going to do a somersault to land on his bottom, like a sort of somersault earthquake splash. And the guy rolls out the way, and he does it. But he lands on some barbed wire.
All right.
And it's not like he bounces off it. It's just some barbed wire on the floor. The second his bum hits the floor,
right,
he just goes weird. And it's like, you've just watched him for 10 minutes maybe, yeah, and you go, he does his thing and he's all about, you know, he's all just in it.
Yeah.
And then he suddenly just went like something had happened, like they'd gone, we've replaced him with someone else. Right?
And Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap. He's like,
He suddenly just looks like he's going, I don't know, what am I doing here? Where am I? Who am I? And then he just leans over and begins vomiting. And he does not stop vomiting. He vomits and vomits and vomits and vomits.
Wowzers.
That is off just like, that is
a hard,
a 4 foot drop on your bum that you're expecting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That makes your system go, I must evacuate.
Yeah.
Right?
He's hit the release. He's pulled the release card. He's hit the button. He's control it and deleted.
You weren't to know this. Hello, I'm your body. You weren't to know this. But a certain combination will make me do something.
It's
right?
The Konami code. Up, down, left, right, A, B.
Exactly that. Yeah. If you land too hard on this bum cheek, and you're also moving slightly forward at the same time, you will vomit.
You will vomit.
And I cannot imagine there aren't a number of those combos being unlocked through every wrestling match.
Yeah.
It certainly looks like he shat himself.
It does look like he shat himself. So I hate to end this fantastic celebration of wrestling with such a disappointing thing, but I will send you the screenshot and tweet it if you want. if you could remember to tweet it on the third episode.
This is also worth saying, look, as we go ahead with WrestleManias, it does get harder and harder
to find something because
people haven't written the tell-all autobiographies. Mm-hmm. They haven't like reported the stuff because people are still earning money and can therefore afford lawyers and things like that. Yes. There is a lot to come out, right? I mean, literally,
there was a lot to come out of Finn.
That is exactly it. Yeah. This is the first bit of something that's come out for a while. Now, all of them, he would have kept that quiet. Someone would have seen in WWE, they'll have watched that back, and they'll have gone, oh, that's terrible. Poor Finn.
That's terrible. How do we...
Poor Finn. Right. We mustn't say anything.
Yeah.
Well, fuck that.
Eagle Eye Donaldson watching on a MacBook Air 2015 rose gold version in a crowded office on a pair of headphones. To be honest, Mr. Karnov have employed a couple of new members of staff, and they started yesterday, and they're very young. Mm. And I didn't need them to know about it. So I was in the corner pretending I was doing proper work. We had the television presenter Mark Pugach coming in for a chat about something, and we had to sit down, and they wanted to sit down, and I keep moving, but I was trying to hide the fact that I was watching and replaying back and forward a load of inflatable garage men.
I thought you were going to have that thing of where it's someone essentially going, oh, you like wrestling? And you going, no. I've just discovered this one shit himself.
No, I do like shit, though. So I was trying to be, I'm a co-owner of the company. I'm trying not to be like a weirdo.
Oh, it was good, though, wasn't it?
Little poo in his pants. Little poopies in his pants.
Wonderful.
We've all done it!
If you would like to buy, this is actually quite funny. His outfit is on sale
You're
on eBay.
Me. Shut up.
But not the trunks.
It's
just the knee pads.
Come on, you can buy the knee pads
from this NXT takeover.
You're kidding me.
£950.
Oh, is it worth it? Because
can we test? He would always say, no, lads, you know, how does he speak? Give me an Irish accent.
Hello there.
Hello there.
I didn't do a little poppy in me poops, in me poop pants.
Where are we on the Irish chart this week? It's either going to be very low or really high because have you heard this fucking shite?
I've been watching, is it The Fall?
Yeah.
With
Gillian Anderson.
They've literally got, right, we've paid her $1 million. I need to see her in a bra all the time.
I like the way they said to
everyone,
how should I act? And they went, oh, act? No, we haven't paid to act. Just say the lines. Say the lines some kind of sex robot.
Like a horny, sexually liberated sex robot.
Yeah exactly.
And everyone has this dog and night this.
Yeah. What he would say is he'd say, I see your tests. I see your tests on my knee pads. And I see you have got a false positive for excrement being within a 4 foot diameter. Well, let me make it clear. I did go to the toilet and
I made dirt,
but that was going, hang on, get it back.
You should see Nakamura.
But that was.
That was.
That was. That was just me going.
just India.
India, pull India, it back.
Come back, pull it back. Turn the plane around.
Let's. I've got to go. I've got
get
to go.
Back. Get.
I've got to go. Full,
Eamon Holmes. Think
full
Eamon Holmes.
Paisley. Full Paisley. That was... The exclamation was not... No.
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 Irish. Dermot. Dermot O'Leary. So the excrement was...
the excrement.
He's always going on about being Irish.
Has he?
So the excrement was within a 4-foot radius of me.
Yes.
But it wasn't caused by in the match shite. It
no,
was merely
later.
Caused by a poo I had had previously. So your science is worthless. We will never, ever be able to prove he shat himself in that match, Pete.
No.
Not even with those knee
fucking
pads.
Fucking furious.
I don't even think he's from Ireland.
WrestleMania!
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym... for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.